Friends, today we are mountain men. Well, okay, mountain men and women. Now, by that, I don't mean that we've got our truncheons and our picks and our oxygen masks and tanks and everything we need to climb Everest or some other mountain. No. It's more like the mountain men of the old West. Do you ever remember hearing about them? They weren't going out to climb the tallest mountain, but they were leaving behind civilization and going out to hunt, to trap, to fish, to get away. And perhaps that's where they felt the most comfortable, away from everyone else. These mountain men probably could understand. You remember that old song by John Denver, Rocky Mountain High? They could understand the Cathedral Mountains, the crystal clear Blue Mountain Lakes. You know, seeing the awe of a thunderstorm. And perhaps have their life filled with epiphany moments where they behold the glory of God. I have a feeling that this desire is a part of, and I can't speak for women, I can only speak for men, many men's desire to get out into the wilderness. We taste a little bit of it when we go to Bass Pro Shops or Cabela's. You know what I mean. To get out and to experience the awe and the wonder. Something that you struggle to do back amid the same old, same old. Today, we are mountain men and women. And through the scripture, we've climbed the heights. And we are there with Peter and James and John. Did you see? Could you describe if you had to? Maybe. Maybe not. Would you be filled with similar confusion? Probably. Let's just revisit again for a moment this episode. For there we picture Jesus. How do you describe God's glory? Perhaps it is only something that can be, you know, we can say, when I see it, I know it. But we have a hard time finding the right words. I mean, face shining. What was it? I mean, our memories, our biblical memories, go back to another story of Moses coming down the mountain and his face shining, and this was being something that was very frightening to God's people, so much so that they demanded of Moses that he cover his face so they wouldn't be afraid to see. But how do you describe that? Dazzling white clothes. I like how some of the paraphrases of Scripture have described Peter's response. Because this is kind of my response. You know the difference, by the way, between a translation and a paraphrase? A translation seeks to sort of get the words right, whereas a paraphrase tries to get the meaning right, to convey it, and perhaps using a lot more words than are there, to try to get across something that cannot be expressed so easily in words. The Message puts it this way. Here is Peter saying, Lord, this is fantastic. What a moment. If you like, I will knock up three huts so that you, Moses and Elijah, can all stay here longer. What a ridiculous thing to say. He's recognized the moment, and he wants to hold on to the moment. Well, maybe that's not so ridiculous after all, is it? To hold on to the moment, to make it stay. Only God doesn't stay. God is not a puppy dog that will roll over when we say roll over, or beg when we lift up a treat. God, as we started out worship, is God. God will not be put in place. And that's good news. It really is. And another paraphrase puts it this way. That was the laughing bird I just used. That one from Australia I often use. This is the message one where it says, Peter broke in, "Master, this is a great moment. What would you think if I built 3 memorials here on the mountain? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Now, what first comes to my mind as I hear those words is Washington, D.C. You know, there's the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson Memorial. And they're way tall, standing up as the Washington Monument. You know, these memorials to dead men. That's what they are. Dead men. I mean, there's another kind of monument, isn't there? One we put in cemeteries. We call them gravestones. Here lies. Is that a proper memorial? Is that what we should be doing to all of this? I think it's wise that we remember that it's not the mountain that's important. I mean, which mountain did this happen on? I tell you, if you go to visit Israel and you've got a tour guide come up to you trying to sell you tickets to the Mount of Transfiguration, don't buy them. Because that's not what's important. God is not on that mountain. God, you know, that's again kind of pushing God way up. That's what the other religions did back in that era. And religions still do. God, try to put God in place somewhere. You know, as long as God's up that mountain, we don't have to worry about down the valley. It's up there, not down here. Peter didn't know what he was saying. It was obvious because a cloud came down. His mind was just as cloudy as that cloud. But in the midst of his confusion, God spoke. Words that were frightening. Now you'd think it wouldn't be frightening to hear, you know, God say, "This is my son, marked by my love, focus of my delight." Well, that's one of the paraphrases. But the words end, "Listen, listen, listen to him." Isn't that frightening? Today, is it frightening to listen? Maybe. Truly, maybe. But I like those words. Because here they are. Those words, shove them down on the ground in fear. And the cloud disappeared, and there was just Jesus. Did you catch the scene? And what did he say? "Get up. Don't be afraid. Got to go down the mountain now. Got to go down the mountain now." You know, climbing the mountain is, I got to tell you, I think is easier than going down the mountain. I know that from a muscular point of view. I can tell you after I did a number on my upper quad last summer, going down is not easy. It uses a whole lot more muscles, physically, and I think spiritually as well. We climb the mountain, we get up to the top, we can see for miles and miles and miles. But coming down, I tell you, when I go down, especially when the way is rocky, I'm not looking out there. Are you? Where are we looking? Because if I don't pay attention to what's down here one day at a time, didn't you say that, Eugenia? If I don't pay attention down here, I'm going to stumble and I'm going to fall down that mountain. Coming down is hard. Well, as I said, today we are mountain men and women, and we stand kind of at the end of one season. We have seen off in the distance some stuff, but now we're kind of heading down into the valley. And on Wednesday begins the season of Lent. Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday. After Shrove Tuesday and all this kind of traditional stuff. What do? We go out and have pancakes, is it, on Shrove Tuesday or something like that? Ash Wednesday. And many churches, you know, they put ashes on the forehead. Now, I had this idea last year, and it was actually sparked by my sister Eugenia. It was, you may not think it was you who had the idea, but it was, I kept all the palm branches from last year, kept them in my office. They were, you know, nice and dry by this week. And I burned them. That's what often you do with them. I burned them and made ashes. Now, we're not having an Ash Wednesday service here. We tend to be a people who are pretty spread out and sometimes coming in for a special service, especially one that's not as big in our tradition. But I wanted you to have some of these ashes to take with you if you want. And I thank Eugenia for helping me with this. As a reminder, and some of the scriptures that we remember when we think of these ashes as they are put on foreheads during services is a scripture that reminds us that we are dust. You know, from dust we came, to dust we will return. That's something we try to ignore. We try to especially when we face into, you know, difficult times. And, I'm thinking that we've had a lot of bad news health-wise with a number of people in our fellowship, and it gets kind of depressing. But it's a reminder, you know, that these bodies weren't made to live forever, were they? You know, from ashes we came, to ashes we will return. Dust to dust. But, you know, there's some good news in that, if we allow ourselves to hear it. And these are echoes of resurrection. You see, I know this is not the scientific way of discussing creation, but it's the theological way of discussing creation. That God took with God's hand a bit of dust and formed it and blew life into it. And that is how we are. That theologically is a statement of who we are. And that's good news. Because God is God, and it's God's hand involved, and it's God's breath that's involved, and it's God's word that's involved. Dust to dust. Now the season of Lent is time, yes, for repentance, but that's a wide open book, my friends. I mean, it's not necessarily a time to beat yourself over the head. I mean, were you listening to the video and the invitation into how, what that might mean to deny yourself and rise with Christ? And it may mean something different at different stages in your life. What does that mean for you today? That is for you to discern as we head from here toward Easter. And so what I'm suggesting is I'm going to put these ashes, and they're in nice little containers that you can take with you. And you could do with it what you wish. I mean, if you wish, you know, on Wednesday at the beginning of Lent, you can, you know, stick your finger in there and bear some of that ash on your forehead. to remember who you are and whose you are. Or you could keep it in your pocket throughout Lent as a reminder and as an encouragement to be thinking about this and praying about this throughout this season. That's up to you. I mean, you can come up after the service, you can come up during the singing of the final hymn, but I encourage you to pay attention, to listen, as God said, to His Son, His beloved, in whom He is well pleased.